In 1990, an environmental and labor organizer named Judy Barry and I created something called Redwood Summer. And Redwood Summer was designed to bring college kids as well as everybody to the Redwoods in order to protest, in order to shine the outside light of the world onto what was happening behind what we call the Redwood Curtain, the clear cutting of 2,000-year-old trees that stand 350 feet tall. Most people think they're protected. 97% of them are not protected. And so we had a huge campaign. We brought thousands of kids and grown-ups to the Redwoods to protest in the summer of 1990. However, as we were organizing and on a college tour for Redwood Summer, a pipe bomb went off underneath Judy Barry's driver's seat. She was almost killed. I was in the passenger seat. I was slightly injured. To add egregious insult to injury, the FBI showed up with the Oakland police within moments and arrested us for bombing ourselves.
Up to this point, do you feel that your attempts to organize this event had received any scrutiny from outside parties or governmental agencies that might be interested in stopping you?
Judy and I were both Earth Firsters, and the FBI had already targeted Earth First for investigation as early as 1981. We engaged in nonviolent civil disobedience. We sat in trees. We blockaded bulldozers. We chained ourselves to things. But we were definitely targeted. And we also received many death threats prior to the bombing, probably 36 in all.
You just outlined a few of the activities that you were engaged in, but nowhere did I hear you mention blowing things up as being part of what you were doing.
We follow the strict nonviolence code, and in fact, every single piece of literature we had for Redwood Summer emphasized we will not engage in any physical or verbal violence. We will not run. We will maintain an open and friendly attitude. We will bring no weapons. We will consume no drugs. It was a very strict nonviolence code, and people were made to sign it before they were allowed to attend Redwood Summer.
To what extent were the injuries that you and Judy suffered in this?
Judy Barry was almost killed. Her pelvis was shattered. She had dislocated coccyx and sacrum. She had intestinal damage, and her right leg was partially paralyzed. By some miracle, the blast was deflected away from me, and I received some minor burns, a scratched cornea, and 2 busted eardrums.
You say that there were police officials and FBI officials on the scene very quickly thereafter, but what was the course of the investigation?
The Oakland police showed up first and said the bomb was hidden under the driver's seat, but then when the FBI showed up, they informed the Oakland police that the bomb was in plain view in the back seat. And so the Oakland police deferred to the FBI. But to be honest, there was no investigation of the bombing. There was only a smear campaign and what we call a sham investigation. No fingerprints were compared. No forensics were analyzed. In other words, there was no investigation, perhaps just a sham investigation presented to the media.
So you're both injured and you're both under arrest in this situation. What was the culmination of the criminal investigation into you and Judy Barry?
Charges were never filed against Judy Barry or myself. Our names were dragged through the mud, our reputations smeared as bombers, terrorists whose bomb had gone off accidentally. And so we never were charged with a crime. So we went ahead and sued them in federal court for violations of the First and Fourth Amendment, the first saying freedom of speech, that they knowingly lied about us in order to silence us. The government is not allowed to do that. That's a violation of the First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment, which protects us from false arrest and illegal search and seizure. And we took that to trial. It took us 11 years after we filed the lawsuit in order to get into a courtroom.
And what was the result of that trial?
We went before a jury of our peers in Oakland, California. And after listening to the FBI and our side testify for 6 weeks, the jury deliberated for 3.5 weeks and awarded us $4.4 million.
Did this experience daunt your enthusiasm and your drive for activism?
It really inspired me to go on even more so. You know, when you're a principal organizer, as Judy and I both were, and somebody tries to stop you, what is everybody else going to think if you back down? It was more imperative than ever that we stand up to this. And Judy organized from her hospital room, which was like a satellite base camp filled with people, much to the hospital's dismay. So I am angry. I grew up in New York. I don't take this from anybody. And not only were we going to fight the FBI and the Oakland police back for falsely accusing us, I am 22 years later still looking for who bombed Judy Barry, and I will not rest until I find that person, or perhaps more than one person. And the reason it's important is not just for personal vindication. I think that whoever that person is going to open up a door into what really happened. Why did the federal government not just falsely accuse us, but simultaneously hide the tracks of who bombed Judy Barry and myself?
Do you think that Judy's injuries contributed to her death 7 years later?
I think Judy Barry's immune system was compromised by the amount of pain that she was suffering, and I think her will to live was also compromised by the incredible pain she was in.
What was the impact of this incident on the movement and your environmental group?
It was a two-edged sword. I think a lot of people were scared away, people who might have brought children to Redwood Summer to engage in these nonviolent protests opted out, but people who were more enraged decided to join. Unfortunately, a lot of the debate became, are these people terrorists rather than should we save the Redwoods? And so that was a definite distraction. And Judy Barry once said, a bombing never helps your cause.
So the bombing occurred in 1990, and here we are in 2013. What is Judy Barry's legacy today?
Judy Barry was a union organizer with the United States Post Office as well as the retail clerks. She was an Earth First organizer, mother of two children, a radical feminist, a fiddler, a songwriter, and a carpenter. And she herself called herself a foreman. She had a six-man construction crew working under her for California Yurts, run by Bonnie Raitt's brother, David Raitt. So she was really a woman for all seasons. I know that we can trace Occupy Wall Street and all those encampments right back to Redwood Summer. I know that we can trace the bridges formed between unions and environmentalists where they marched together at the WTO rally in Seattle. We can trace that right back to Judy Barry directly. We can trace the kind of mass organizing, the thousands of people that Judy was able to mobilize. We can trace the larger crowds, I think, to Judy Barry as well. Judy Barry, I think, was one of the great environmental heroes of the United States.
This weekend, you'll be screening your film, Who Bombed Judy Barry, at the Screening Room. How did this film come to be, and what are the elements that you were able to draw on to compose it?
After the bombing, Hollywood came knocking on our door, offering us all kinds of story rights contracts. And after about 9 years of some not-so-savory characters offering us various deals, I decided to produce the movie myself. We wrote two screenplays. Neither one of them panned out. And then by the year 2009 or 10, my director, Mary Liz Thompson, and I said, hey, let's just make a documentary. Judy Barry had recorded her deathbed deposition in her lawsuit against the FBI and the Oakland police, in which for 6 hours she told her life story on camera, under oath, 30 days before she died. I saw that as the framework for the movie. Let Judy Barry narrate her own story. And then as Judy refers to something in her deposition, we simply flash back or forward to the very scenes she's talking about. I also had thousands, if not tens of thousands, of documents, newspaper articles and other kinds of documents, not to mention about 10,000 documents we got from the FBI in our lawsuit against them. So we had no shortage of documentation to color in the story that Judy Barry tells.
What are you hoping that audiences are going to come away from this film with?
The film has four goals. The first is to educate people as to tactics and strategies. The second is to inspire, because ours is a movie about victory. Judy is funny, she's musical, and together we saved Forrest, we beat the FBI, we have a happy, perhaps a bittersweet, but still a happy ending. And so I think the film is inspirational to get people active. We also want to find out, as the film's title suggests, who bombed Judy Barry, and we'd like this movie to trigger a legitimate law enforcement investigation of the bombing. And lastly, we want people to know who Judy Barry was and is in a world that is kind of short on heroes, especially women heroes. I think it's important for Judy to be a role model for young women and old alike, as well as everybody, to aspire toward, to see what a true genius she was, and yet at the same time, what a regular person she was, that she wasn't above the fray. She was in the trenches to her dying day.